Can anybody agree with that last statement? Amen. Amen. If God is for us, then who can be against us? This morning, I want to continue with the with this concept, this sermon series idea about the beginning a new journey. I know that New Year's is has come and gone, and it's what is today, the 20th? So, you know, we're 19 days past New Year and, you know, get on with it, Shane. It's all, yeah, we get it, new, start over. I've got my New Year's resolutions done. I'm keeping some of them. I've already broke most of them, but whatever. Okay. But no, I'm not moving on. It's a new day today. It's a new beginning. It's an opportunity to take a new journey, a different one than we did yesterday. Even if yesterday was a great day, even if last week was a great week. Reality is last week was, guess what? Last week. And today is today. And we get the opportunity not only to live today to the fullest, because Jesus said, I have come that you can have life and you can have it to the fullest. He said that his life, and what Howard taught us this morning in class about the gospel, and I love the way Paul just says, this is the gospel, that Jesus lived, he died, he was raised and ascended into heaven. And he did that so that we could have life to the fullest. Not that we could have last week to the fullest, but today. And today is a day that we can live to the glory of God and can jumpstart another week, another wonderful week of praising God and serving God and of ministering to those who don't have the hope that we have, who don't know the God as we know God, who don't know what it's like to wake up every morning, no matter what happened yesterday, no matter what it looks like is going to happen, knowing that it's all new. That it's all new. So this morning, as I just wanted to leave that up there, you know, it's that God works for the good. God works everything together, no matter what has befallen you in your life. God, the God of heaven and earth, the God that the only God that has ever truly known or lived, the Creator God, works all of that for good. He works that together for good. How can you not love Him? He says that, and He gives us a lot of theology in there. He says He foreknew, He has all of this knowledge of us, intimate knowledge, intimate plans, plans for our life. He said, if that God is for us, then who can be against us? And we can make up we make lists. Well, this person's against me and that person and the devil's against us. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But what Paul does, he discounts all of that in the shadow, in the bright, glaring shadow of the glory of God. So this morning, as we talk about this new journey, this taking this trip, this walking with God mentality that we have. We all have plans. We all have ideas about what life is going to be like. We all have these expectations, as Howard was talking about. And guys, let me just tell you, I came up to Howard after class and I said, you're just, you know, not going to believe this. His class and my sermons a lot of times, most of the time, kind of have dovetailed a lot lately. And it just tells me that, you know, and we don't talk during the week about this. We talk about a lot of things, but not this. And it just tells me that God wants something said. He wants us talking about this stuff, because you can't make this up. And Howard was talking about expectations, and we all have those for our lives and for what this journey that God has got in store for us and these plans that we make, and whether it's relationships or business or just the families that we have, whatever. We've all got these plans. We've all got this expectation of what a relationship with God is going to look like, what a journey with God is going to look like. And what happens when, you realize that whatever happens, that, you know, that's not on my itinerary. You know, this idea, you know, we're familiar with the movie Vacation, you know, with Chevy Chase. And, you know, I love this scene right here where, you know, this is, you know, they plan this trip and everything in the world goes wrong. I mean, from the very beginning, they're pulling out of the driveway and the luggage is on top of the car, and they packed it on top of the car in the garage, and it knocks it clean off the car. And it starts, I mean, it just starts from the very beginning, everything going wrong. And here they are, they've just ramped off of a road closed sign, and just nose planted the family truckster in the desert and everything's everywhere. And, you know, that's not on the itinerary. You know, we've all got these plans. But what happens when life happens? When wrecks happen? When luggage gets lost? When it all just seems to be going wrong? You know, and we might be these people that are doing what God's called us to do, that are living this life. You know, we're being good, God. You know, I mean, we made plans. We had it planned out to the letter, and we read the Bible, and we said that God wants me to act like this, and He doesn't want me to act like that. So I did these things, and I stayed away from those things, and I'm told that You will bless me and You will keep me, and this is not the picture of blessing, is it? Not as we understand it. So this morning, what do we do? What do we do when life gets derailed? What do we do when the plans that we make, the ideas that we have, the good things that we do don't seem to be adding up to the life that God's called us to live? That don't seem to be adding up to the basket of blessings that we had in mind? What do we do? I mean, there's passages all over the scriptures that talk about, in 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9, it says that, you know, we have this treasure stored up in jars of clay. And the treasure that he's talking about is the all-surpassing glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have this hope, these unletdownable expectations of God. We have this all stored up in these jars of clay, these fragile lives that we live. And he says that the reason that God gives us this hope, God gives us this treasure, and He stores it in this fragile earthen vessel that is my life, is, he goes on to say, for the all-surpassing glory of God. So that the power of God might be evident. So the power of God might be experienced. And then he goes on to say that we're hard-pressed on every side. I mean, the life of Paul is a life, you know, after... I mean, it's a life of turmoil. It's a life of imprisonment. It's a life of beatings. It's a life of social shunning. And it's a life of friends turning their back on you. It's a life of relationships being broken down. It's a life of earthly things taken away and freedoms restrained. And so Paul, when he says, hey, we're hard pressed on every side, he's not kidding. You know, he's not making it up like a lot of times we seem to think that, I have a bad day because, you know, well, my email got a virus, or I got a call from the teacher at school and my child's been misbehaving, or you know, that investment that I made, it really didn't do all that I wanted it to do, or the, you know, I had this meeting and it didn't go the way I wanted it to, and I thought that, you know, and we come home and we say, oh my goodness, that was what a day. You know, Paul was like, well, you know, I was on a boat and I was going to share the gospel with these people, and the boat sank and I was on an island, you know. Paul would say, well, I was preaching the gospel and these people didn't like it, and so they gathered me up and they beat me to death and almost, and then, you know, left me for dead. I was preaching the gospel and you know, then I was gathered up and put in prison. You know, that's a bad day. He said, guys, we've been hard pressed on every side. We've been perplexed. All of our plans that we made for God have been thwarted, it seems. But you see, we're not been crushed. The thing that he's saying, he goes, I've been beaten half to death for the gospel, but glory to God, I wasn't beaten to death. So we've been perplexed, confused, but we haven't been, but not in despair. Our plans have been derailed. Our life that we had, that we thought God was going to bless, didn't go the way, but there was always things to do in prison. There was always people to talk. There was always God to be glorified no matter what. He said, you know, we've been persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. He goes on and on to say that when life gets derailed, just hang on to the one thing that never fails, that never strays, that is never different. This morning, I invite you to turn with me to Genesis 39, 1 through 6. We're going to look at a real world, real life example of what do you do when life gets derailed? How do you really stay with this? How do you begin a new journey? I mean, how do you muster up the strength to carry on when things just seem to be falling apart at the seams, when things just seem to be not going according to plan? How do you do this? In Genesis chapter 39, like I said, this is a real world. This happened thousands of years ago, but maybe not. I bet if you searched your life, you would find a lot of times us on the pages of Scripture. And maybe not you, but somebody you know that's gone through something maybe just a little bit similar to this. In Genesis 39, we pick up the story of Joseph. And if you're not familiar with the story, then basically Joseph is one of the sons of Jacob. And Jacob he's talked about as one of the fathers of the Israelite nation. And there's Abraham, and then there's Isaac, his son. And then Isaac has two sons, Jacob and Esau. And Jacob is the wilier, kind of conniving-y one, and so Jacob has all these sons, and he has a whole mess of them. I mean, just a church bus load of sons. But then he's got this one son named Joseph that he favors more than the other ones. And I don't know why that is. Maybe, you know, Joseph's better looking. Maybe he's more athletic. Maybe he sings better, and, dad likes singing. I don't know. But as we all know, if you have children, you know that we're not supposed to have favorites, but Jacob does. And it's obvious that Joseph is his favorite. It's so obvious that he buys him this coat of all these different colors, and it's just this, it's like all the other kids have hand-me-down coats, and Joseph gets a brand new North Face Denali. That's basically what he's got. You know, Joseph gets the mountain hardware. And everyone else just, they got to get the faded glory from Walmart. You know what I'm saying? So that's there's the discrepancy right there. You got, just a bus of kids over here wearing whatever, and then Joseph gets the brand new Nikes. Well, that didn't go over so well with the other kids. And so the problem that, not only that, but then Joseph starts having these dreams, and he has these dreams about these sheaves of wheat, and they're gathering sheaves of wheat, and his brothers are, and he is, and all of a sudden his brothers' sheaves of wheat start bowing down to his sheaf of wheat, basically saying, "You're going to bow down to me one day." Like, oh, we are. Well, we'll see about that. So there's other dreams that kind of talk about the same thing. And basically Joseph is rubbing his brother's nose in the fact that not only does dad like me more, but apparently there's a higher power at work, as we know him as God, as Yahweh. And I think that he likes me more because you're going to bow down to me. And they didn't like that. So they grabbed him. They threw him in a well. They ripped up his coat, put blood on it, and went and told Jacob, "Something terrible's happened. Joseph's been eaten by something." And Jacob was sad. So they started getting feeling bad. And so what they did is they, instead of killing him, they took him and they sold him into slavery. Now, I've had some expectations not met in my life. I've had some meetings that didn't go the way. I've had some investments that didn't. I've had some decisions. But I've never, ever been beaten, thrown in a well, and sold into slavery. Joseph's having a bad day that day. So he goes off to Egypt and he's sold again to this guy named Potiphar, who is an official in Pharaoh's government. So he basically, Potiphar is a guy who works very high up in the government of, or the service of the Pharaoh, who is the most powerful man in the whole world. Egypt was really the only superpower of the day, and Potiphar is kind of an official in that, and Joseph finds himself working for this guy. Now, I don't believe that Joseph ever had a to-do list that, or an itinerary where he's got his day timer and he's looking and said, okay, I'm going to go do the sheaves of wheat thing. I'm going to, take care of the cows, and, then I've got a, that dentist appointment, and then I'm going to have to get all that done because I'll be sold into slavery later on this week, and left everything that he's ever known. I'm pretty sure that wasn't in his day timer. But that's where he finds himself. He finds himself separated from his family, out of control of everything in his life. I mean, he is owned by another person. Now, is anybody, raise your hand if you've ever been owned, if you've ever been sold and then owned by someone else to where they make all of the rules, tell you where you can go, where you can't go. Has that ever happened? No, no one in here? So we're thinking that this is a bad day that transcends. This is not only a bad day, but all of a sudden life is over as you know it. Where does he go from there? Now Joseph, verse 1, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household to all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had with Joseph in charge, and he did not concern himself with anything except the food that he ate. I mean, that's a pretty good turnaround. I mean, it isn't exactly what Joseph would have. You think maybe Joseph would have rather, I mean, is there anything else Joseph would have rather have happened than put in charge of everything that Potiphar owns? I mean, if you think about it, is Joseph sitting there? I mean, here he is. He's been sold into slavery. He's been traveled, far away from his home. And now he's owned by another, and he's doing good, and he's working hard, and da, 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 da. Now he's in charge of everything. I mean, okay, it's a good turnaround, but you think there might be one thing that he would rather have happened than that? How about send me home? I mean, all right, Lord, bless me and let me out of this circumstance and let me go home. I want to see my dad. I want to see my brothers. Man, I might want to punch them, but I mean, there's something familiar about even my brothers that I should hate, but I probably still love. I mean, being that kind of separated has a way of making, I know what they did, but if you could just let me go back home to see them. But that's not what happened. So what do we do when this happens? Well, what Joseph does, and this is where I want to go with this. The first thing that Joseph does, I messed that up. The first thing that Joseph does is he maintains a godly influence. Look at the very first part of this passage. He'd been taken down. He'd done all that. Verse 1, bought him. He was sold into slavery. He was bought. Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. Now, what that means is that it doesn't mean like if I go to... went to trivia last night with Howard and Carol Ann and some other folks, and we played trivia and we lost, and I blame Dr. Crabtree because he bailed on us, but whatever. I was at trivia with Howard, and Howard was with me. But you know what? I was also with him. So if we're telling the story of me, and we're saying, and I went to this place, and Howard was with me, it really isn't like that when you read in here, and the Lord was with him. It wasn't that God was, you know, was following him and smoothing out the way and you know, doing this and doing that on his behalf so that things were easy. What it means in the Hebrew, right, in the Hebrew, when he says that Lord was with him, it really means that Joseph had never lost sight of God. That Joseph was taking God with him. It wasn't so much a proactive step on God's part as much as it was a proactive step on Joseph's part, and God just makes himself available. It's a whole lot like when you choose to take God with you. When you go to work and you say, God is with me. You know why God's with you? Because you choose to take him with you. You choose to recognize his presence with you. And he chooses to make himself available to all of mankind. But when it says the Lord was with him, that's Joseph, no matter what the circumstances are, saying, I'm going to do what God has called me to do, and I'm going to glorify God in my actions. That's what it means to be blessed, because let's face it. Remember last week I was talking about getting good advice? And when we get good advice and we take that advice, it's a blessing, isn't it? Now, it's not really the person giving us the advice that has a direct impact on or direct cause of the blessing. But it's the advice that they give you. It's the truth. It's the principle. It's the reality of if you do this, this is more likely the outcome. What happens in your life if you treat people the way that God has called you to treat them? Some will find fault with that, and some will persecute that. But for the most part, people realize when you're a good person, when you have quality intentions, when you're honest, when you're dependable. Isn't that what Jesus said? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. When you tell somebody you're going to do something, what if you ran a business? What if you ran someone else's business that way? If they knew that you are trustworthy, you are honest, it might not be the business that you want to be in, but it's the one you find yourself in, and I'm going to be honest. Do you think that kind of business prospers? You think that kind of, you know, are there trials and tribulations along the way? Well, sure there are. But that's what that means when he says that the Lord was with him. It means that Joseph, in the event that he found himself in slavery, he still continued to let God determine the decisions that he made, the choices that he made, the way that he treated people, the respect with which he treated those over him. And he let his yes be yes. He let his no be no. He was dependable. He was trustworthy. And everything that he did prospered. And Potiphar saw that. See, that's what it means when you see the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph made a conscious decision. You're going to own me? Well, then you're going to own the best person you could possibly own. You're going to tell me what to do? Well, then I'm going to do whatever it is that you tell me to do to the best of my ability to the glory of God. You see, we can assume that Joseph let no one wonder why it was that he acted the way he did. I'm sure that Joseph acted differently than other slaves. Joseph was more respectful. Joseph was harder worker. Joseph was a lot of things, more so than other slaves. And do you think that Potiphar would have said, Joseph, let me ask you a question. Why are you like this? I've got 15 slaves over there, and they, you know, I know what they say about me. I know how they look at me. I know how they roll their eyes at me. I know where I know how they do all this. But you're different, and I guarantee you, he said, like Peter said, when you know, be ready to give an account for the hope that you have. See, all of this stuff works together. Peter, 3,000 some odd years later, 5,000 years later, says, you know, guys, people are going to ask you why you're different. I'm sure that Potiphar came up to Joseph and said, why are you so different? And he said, let me tell you about Yahweh. Let me tell you about the God who brought me out of the pit. Let me tell you about the God who brought me out of the well that my brothers threw me down and brought me to your house so that I had the opportunity to serve you to his glory. Let me tell you about him. And see, Potiphar, someone who hadn't even heard of Yahweh until Joseph showed up, knew about his God. Read the text. It says, and he knew the Lord was with him. You know how he knew? Because Joseph had to have told him. This is why I act the way I do. This is the reason I work the way I do. This is the reason for all that I do. The Lord was with him. You know how Joseph maintained this in the middle of life being derailed? He was aware of temptations as they came along. If we keep reading, Joseph was well built, handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph. And she, you know, Potiphar's wife was like, well, you know, look at that. How about that? I mean, Joseph's well built. He's handsome. He and I have a lot in common. I'm getting better and better built all the days. Joseph was propositioned, but he had his antenna up. He had his alertness. He had his radar. He said, you know what? He refused. With me in charge, my master does not concern himself with anything in this house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I. My master has withheld nothing from me except you because you're his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Joseph was aware that even, you know, don't you think that in the back of his mind, Satan thought, all right, you're doing a great job and, you know, it's all about you and you're great this and you're great that. But, man, I bet down deep somewhere Joseph wants to get back at that guy that owns him, that guy that tells him what to do. I mean, I know you're in charge of everything, but it's not really yours. You're doing all this for someone else. You're making money for somebody else. You are still a slave. I tell you what, Joseph, if you want to get back at him, here's your chance. And Joseph said, this isn't about me. This is about God. See, too often my life, it's about me. You know, too often, you know, ministry and all that, it's about me. It's about what I'm accomplishing. So much of our life is look at what I have amassed. Look at what I have accomplished. But Joseph was aware of the temptation. If anything, Joseph knew that Satan was real. And in 1 Peter 5:8, he says, be careful because this evil entity, Satan, is roaming around like a lion seeking for anyone that he can have. Joseph knew it's not just a good time with this person. It's not just getting back at. It's not just, you know, showing him that, you own me, but guess what I did? He said, it's sin. It's sin. You see, it's about God. Joseph was aware that everything that he had accomplished was because of God. And it wasn't he was saying, oh, if I do this, God's going to take all this success away from me. It isn't that at all. It was that Joseph had trained himself to keep God with him no matter what the circumstances, whether they're bad or whether they're tempting. He said, I'm going to maintain this godly influence. And then the last thing that we can learn, When things are just not on the itinerary, when it's just, it seems like we have just nosedived into the desert and all of our luggage is everywhere and the car is totaled and we don't know what to do, expect divine favor. You see, when there is the divine presence, comes divine favor. He goes on to say, how can I sin against God? And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her. And even, and then, you know, it goes down all the way through chapter 39. And things get really bad for Joseph. See, Potiphar's wife lies about him. Potiphar gets angry at him. Potiphar doesn't believe Joseph. He throws him in jail. Now Joseph went from being in a well and being sold to being exalted in the home of an Egyptian official. And now he finds himself in prison. You can read this story for yourself. He finds himself in prison again. When the master heard, verse 19, the master told the story saying, this is how your slave is treated. You know, he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him, put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. But, I love that. But while Joseph was there in the prison, there's that word, there's that phrase again. The Lord was with him. See, Joseph chose to have godly influence. He was aware of temptation. Because wouldn't you be tempted to be just mad? Just to stew, just to sit and be like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, I had a chance to go and to be with that woman and to get back. I had a chance to enjoy myself in the lust of my flesh. And I did, and this is where I find myself, God. I could be mad at Potiphar for not believing me. I could be mad at God for putting me in this position and just sit there and stew. But no, not Joseph. The Lord was with him. He showed him kindness, granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those he held in prison. And he was made responsible for all that was done there. And the warden, again, the warden didn't pay any attention to what Joseph was doing. Potiphar didn't pay any attention to what Joseph was doing. He was trustworthy. He was honest. He was honorable. He was a hard worker. See how how Satan intensifies. Okay, you're going to be a slave. Now you're going to be a prisoner. But Joseph never wavered. Something I want us to write down and think about this week. NMW. What does NMW mean, you might ask? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to take God with me. No matter what. No matter what. No matter if I find myself in a well, betrayed by those that should be closest to me. No matter if I find myself enslaved and owned by and controlled by someone else. No matter if I find myself in a worse situation, even though I did everything that I was called to do. I worked harder than anyone else. I was more trustworthy than anyone else. I was more anything than anyone else. Things don't go as planned. I'm going to take God with me no matter what, because we have no idea the influence that we can have for the kingdom. Next week, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about finding ourselves in those no matter what situations and the glory to God that comes from that. Now, I'm going to warn you, next week is not going to be a very good sermon unless God is the most important thing to us. Now, He doesn't have to be the most important thing to you right now. But just bear in mind that you throughout this week think, I'm going to think about God. I'm going to take God with me, and no matter what. And next week we're going to talk about the opportunities to be influenced and to influence others for the glory of God. And if the glory of God matters little to us, and I can promise you that next week's sermon is going to be boring. This week we have a choice. Do we want to begin a new journey right now? Right now. A journey that will take us from where we are to exactly where God would have us. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what that looks like, God, you know, whatever I find myself befallen in, I will serve you. I will take you with me. And I will watch what happens. We can begin that journey today. Would you like to begin that journey? Would some of us need to begin that journey by confessing Christ? Christ is my Lord and Savior. I don't know much. I don't know anything about Him, but I know He died and He was raised again and He is glorified by the Father, and I want that for my life. I want Him to be my Lord and Savior. Confess that and be baptized into His death, burial, and resurrection. Begin a new journey. And some might have been there and done that and just need to be restored. Some might find themselves in a place where they didn't plan on being and just want the prayers and the love of the church so that they can glorify God in that place, whatever your need. Would you let us know as together we stand and as we sing?